What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Play Legit podcast. We are your hosts, Corey Elijah and KJ. What's going on, man?
Man, what's going on with you, bro?
I'm good, man. We took a week off. I was pretty ill last week. Don't worry, I don't have the Modelo. I'm good. I don't want to call it what it's actually called because it might get us flagged on YouTube or whatever. So
Is that true?
That's the thing. Yeah. Even like Susan Wojcicki, or however you said her last name, the CEO of YouTube, they put out like a whole press release saying, yeah, right now, since we can't have people that are actually checking the content in the facility, they just switched to a full automated algorithm that's doing it. So more than likely, most of the videos would be flagged and taken down. So I'm just going to avoid saying it at all. And I'm just going to call it the Modelo. So if you guys are old enough to partake in a little bit of alcoholic beverages, we all know that there is a Mexican drink called something, and then there's an alternative called Modelo, which I personally think is a little bit better personally anyways. So I'm rocking with Modelo for safety here. Yeah, but I don't have it. I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm 100%. I'm back at it. I'm working. So shouts out to everybody out there in this time of need. That's why, we got to make sure we have some content for you guys, because we know a lot of people are cooped up in the house, not able to work. I'm still working right now. KJ, I know you said you're still working, thankfully, right now, too. But for everybody out there that got let go, I know, like, here in my city where I live, tons of people are just, they don't know what to do. The city that I'm in, Kenosha, Wisconsin, is known for bars, and none of the bars are open. There's literally probably like 250 bars, or probably more bars than that in this town. Like on every like block or every block and a half, there's a bar in the city, and there's a population of like 99,000 people. So I know people are hurting. People, that's how people make their money. A bunch of restaurants and everything are closed down too. So there's all that social distancing going on. So we got to make sure we have some content for you guys. So hopefully everybody makes it through without, too much strain on your pocketbooks or whatever it may be, and no one gets too sick. There's not many cases where I'm at here. Hopefully that's not too bad where you are either, KJ. And hopefully we get through this and it's not like 7 months of us being stuck in the house. I like being at home, but, I like to be able to go do stuff,
Well, that's the thing, man. We got to make sure that we're not fearful. I mean, obviously be careful, wash your hands. These are things that I was doing anyway, so it's not much of a change for me in that regard. I mean, sanitize your hands, take a bath, have vitamin C, just take care of yourself, man, and don't be so afraid to just step outside, brighten somebody's day. If you see them in the store, say, hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. Because there's so many people just so afraid right now. So you be the one to be out there and say, hey, man, we doing our thing. Because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get my food and I'm going to get the latest video game if the store is open.
That's right. That's right. And, people, for the most part, there's been some panic, but people are kind of chilling out. They're getting more relaxed now. The biggest thing that I'm really concerned about, and I'm not necessarily concerned because I've almost completely converted to strictly digital, just because, if I don't have to go outside of my house to get a game, then I won't. But I know a lot of people want those collector's editions, those collector items, and they're even ordering them. So, you don't necessarily have to leave your house to necessarily get, a physical copy of a game. But a lot of stuff is back ordered, and Final Fantasy VII, the remake, they put out a press release saying, hey, we know things are crazy right now. If you ordered a physical copy of the game, we don't know exactly how you're going to get the game. We're going to try to get it out to everybody at the release date. But it may be late for some people. I've been seeing quite a few people on my timeline on Facebook and on Twitter kind of panicking, like, oh no, I need my game. And then I was just telling people, like, hey, you could always just get the digital copy,
Or y'all could just wait for Square to put out the rest of the game and then get it.
Ooh, KJ's coming with that heat. Exactly. Coming with that heat, he is not happy.
We ain't playing, y'all.
Just give us a full game. Just give us
a full
game.
That's it, man. I know what happened. It came. I was like 5 when this thing came out. I know what happened.
So, so a lot of this is going to be a fun one today, because today we got some news. We had a podcast about the Xbox Series X, talking about specifications when we had a press release from Phil Spencer on that. But today we got some news on the PS5, and people are having mixed reviews, mixed feelings. I have my own opinion on this. But before I give my take, KJ, how do you feel about what we learned today about the PS5?
Well, I mean, a lot of the news was not really surprising, but that's not a bad thing either, because a lot of things that we were looking for, they pretty much just confirmed. I mean, because we heard rumors and hearsay, and as you could say the same about Series X, the backwards compatibility. I will say, yeah, it would have been demanding to have the system go back like all those generations of PlayStations. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. What if they had a different PS5 that was more expensive that could be backwards with all the PlayStation generations? I think that you'd find a lot of people would be down to buy that, myself included, just because I still do have PS1 games, PS2, 3, 4, and all that. And, my roommate has the 4. But anyway, basically what I'm saying is, if that was made available, I would jump on that. But with that being said, still the fact that they're going to have 100 PlayStation 4 games available, ready to go, that are the most popular, that are the most played. So obviously stuff like God of War and Uncharted, you can expect things like that to play, because we all know that launch titles, the launch window games, are usually just, you know, like 5 games. And then like 2 of them you'll play for 5 hours, and then you're done, and then you're waiting for the real stuff to come out. But now the wait's going to be a lot better now that we know that we're going to be able to play the top tiered releases from PS4. So I think the backwards compatibility is not for everybody is it a big deal, but for me, I do really enjoy that feature. So I'm glad that Microsoft started revisiting it, and that made PlayStation revisit. Whoever was first to initiate it, I'm glad that it's happening.
Yeah, most definitely. And kind of how they explained it too, like with the 100 launch titles that will have the backward compatibility, the way they kind of phrased it, it almost seemed like potentially they'll open it up for more titles in the future as well. So who knows how far the backwards compatibility will actually go with this console. I'm not sure if it's only going to be just strictly PS4 titles, or if they'll figure out a way to unlock it for PS3, PS2.
And maybe that's what they were doing with Xbox. They were releasing every month they'd have more that they'd add to the list. So then that gets you excited, like, oh, what are they going to unlock this time? And then they also did have a few select Xbox originals that you could do backwards compatible on. So with that being said, yeah, I hope that they take that approach that, you know, after they release a lot of PS4s, and they're like, hey guys, actually now you can play this PS3 game, or this PS2 game, or this PS1. Okay, I'm going to be asking for a lot there, but.
Yeah, so from what I've gotten from, you know, just this release, the thing that intrigued me the most is going to have to be the Tempest chip, the audio chip. They spent a quite a bit of time just kind of explaining what they're trying to do with the audio platform to make the console more immersive, you know, having the audio, you not having to necessarily purchase new speakers to be able to feel the 360 audio that's going to be coming from these titles. Also the things with maybe the controller feedback and the haptic feedback and the controller and all of that, just all of that being ran on that Tempest chip. It seemed to me it was really intriguing, just because there's a lot that goes into it, and they seem to be really, really dedicated on this. And they seem to want to be able to unlock this more and more as newer and newer titles come out. I'm interested to see how it actually will work, just because, like, I play on a surround sound system. Every once in a while, I'll play with a headset on, and just knowing that you'll be able to get that cool quality, that 360 audio, whether, say, you're playing, like, a game like Fortnite or a Call of Duty, or if you're playing, like, a side-scrolling game, whatever it may be, to just see how the audio will adjust. That's really the thing that's intriguing me the most.
What about Beat Saber?
That, again, that'll be pretty sick, too, especially with, you know, being a, like, the audio, especially like Beat, that's actually a really good one. Being able to move the saber, maybe the sound moving with, you know, like your swipes of the sword or whatever it may be. So, I mean, I'm super intrigued by that, just because, like I said, they really seem to be spending a lot of time really trying to fine tune that, and that's something that we're not necessarily seeing from Xbox now. There's this whole debate going on online that the Xbox Series X, the specs are whooping the PS5 specs. Would I say they're whooping them? I mean, I wouldn't say whooping, but I mean, on paper, it may look a little bit better. Like, for instance, I can just do a quick rundown, right? So the PS5, the processor, is a 3.5 gigahertz. 8-core AMD Zen 2. The Series X is the same AMD Zen 2, but it's a 3.8 gigahertz 8-core. So it's like slightly better. The GPU you're running on the PS5, it's 10.28 teraflops. On the Series X, it's looking at 12 teraflops. Same amount of memory, 16 gigs of memory. You get that terabyte on the Series X, but you're looking at 825 gigs of SSD storage on the PS5. Both of them are going to be 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray players with 4K support, 8K support, HDR support. We don't know how many ports are going to be on the PS5, but you're going to have three USB-A 3.0 ports on the Series X, of course, with an HDMI out. And one thing that was brought up to me too, when it comes to the that I noticed when it comes to the expandable memory. Now, with the expandable storage for the PS5, although it only comes with the 825 gig SSD, you'll be able to use third-party storage devices, SSDs, or hard disk drives as well to expand your storage. They'll have to be approved by PlayStation, but you could still use third-party ones. For right now, from what
we're getting... Well, that's actually a good thing. So you know you're not getting some hand-me-down storage. Yeah. So I actually like that it has to be approved by them.
Right. And then with the Series X, for right now at least, although it comes with the full 1 terabyte SSD, you'll only be able to use the proprietary storage devices that I believe they come in 1 terabyte devices that you can add on. So, I mean, with the PlayStation, you kind of have your choice to kind of pick and choose, you know, when it comes to pricing with your expandable storage. With Xbox, you're going to be looking at those Microsoft branded storage devices that you'll have to purchase for that one. So hats off to Sony for that, giving you a little bit more freedom. I'm sure Sony will make their own as well, but being able to use other companies will make it, you know, a little bit easier on your pocket. Who knows what the price point for these extra storage devices? I mean, we're looking at SSDs, terabyte SSDs. I imagine they're going to cost a pretty penny. So we'll see what, you know, Microsoft is going to label those at. So spec-wise, it's really, really close. It's just really that GPU support where you're seeing that the Series X is in the lead with the 12 teraflops opposed to the 10.28. But briefly, like I was talking to you before we started recording. Now, everybody is going on, they're all online. They're saying, oh, Xbox is actually whooping PlayStation. They're blowing them out of the water with the specs. Something out of your playbook. Who has the games, though? We know Sony's going to have those games. So spec-wise, you know, I'll take a little less in the specifications because PlayStation's going to have those games and I already know they're going to have those games, but also optimization, right? That's something I really wanted to get into because even though, you know, you're getting those 12 teraflops on the Series X and you're only getting 10.28, there's a reason why Sony's only using 10.28, right? There's a reason why there's 825 gigs in the storage, right? It's because how things are optimized on the PlayStation, and you could kind of tell if you watched the keynote they gave earlier today, you could tell by the keynote that they've been putting time in and they're not just trying to overload you with things, right? They're giving you what you need. They're giving you the power, just enough power to get done what they need to get done. They're not just trying to flaunt flashy numbers in your face or anything. They're letting you know, like, hey, we're putting in time. Things are going to be optimized for the system, and it's going to have more power than it actually needs to do what you want it to do. So go ahead and have those 12 teraflop Series X. It's okay because our stuff is going to run a lot better than what your stuff is going to run like. You know, you're going to have those 12 teraflops, but your games are going to maybe be choppy. I'm not saying they're going to be. I'm just saying that Sony seems to actually be taking time, putting in some care, and actually using specifications that they necessarily need, not just things that look good. A nice comparison I'd like to use is like an iPhone compared to like a Android device. You know, everybody has their own preference. They have what they like. But one thing people always say when it comes to an Android device is like, yeah, well, the iPhone, the specs on the iPhone aren't even nearly as good as the specs on an Android device. Like my Galaxy phone is going to be way better because it has 108 megapixels. It's like, and then you take pictures with the cameras and you can hardly tell the difference. It doesn't matter how many numbers you have. It matters about how things are optimized with the software that you're providing, right? So as long as you have the software that complements the specifications that you have and it's optimized to the point where it's really, really fine-tuned, it's gonna be greatness. So don't be taken back by these big numbers. Just know when it comes to optimization, that's the most important thing. And that was my little spiel on that I wanted to give.
I think that their presentation, there's lots of excuses. It's like, oh, well, that was supposed to be at the CDC. And look, I don't care if it was supposed to be at 7-Eleven. Y'all, that was just so boring, that presentation. Mm. And for it to be that way, yeah, I said that, Corey, and for it to be that way and then show nothing, I mean, I don't know if that was gameplay footage during the Series X thing of the Hellblade. I don't know if that was gameplay footage. They say it is, but, you know, they say it, they'll tell you anything. They'll tell you the sky is purple. So I don't know if that was gameplay footage, but they did show me something. Mm. And so, yes, it's great to get this about the specs and all that, and I'm excited about that. Don't get that confused. I am excited about that. Yes, this is going to be great. Little to no load times, fast installations if we're going to have any at all. We probably will, but they'll just be super fast, I imagine. Mm-hmm. All that stuff, but at the end, y'all should have shown me something. Am I wrong for feeling that way?
No, I mean, I agree. Watching it, I was like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And even keynotes for other tech products, you know, other companies, like, when Microsoft is displaying their Surface Books or Apple is having a keynote, even like the Worldwide Developer Conference, they'll still show you something to kind of get you like entertained, you know? And that would be like a major drawback that I would say about this presentation. I understand what they were trying to do. It seemed to be more just for the developers, but maybe they should have did it in a manner where it was more closed. But I mean, going back to the Modelo, maybe they had to do it this way just because maybe they wanted to give people the information. but they didn't want to have, like, they can't just send a private video to all of the news and all of the developers. They just put something out so everybody could get the information. But as the average consumer, yes, it was boring. It was definitely a snooze fest. For someone like me that kind of is intrigued by this type of, you know, by the jargon and how these things work, and actually getting down into like the nitty gritty and the technical aspects of the device, for me, I could understand it and I could kind of get a grasp. But looking at the comments as it's going on, I'm seeing all of these Z's, I'm seeing Xbox is killing you. I'm even seeing people saying Stadia is gonna, you know, is whooping you spec wise. You know, it just wasn't entertaining to the point where people just, you know, people had to hate on it. And it's understandable because it was not entertaining. Even with their little like PlayStation Matrix things that are happening in the background and all of that, they tried to make it look fancy. They tried to make it look nice. The guy giving the presentation was, you know, he knew what he was talking about, but he's the type of person where it's like, if you're selling me something, I don't know if I want to buy it from you because you're not a good salesman. You can explain things to me really well, but all right. of that doesn't really matter to me. You know, you could just give me a quick rundown and I'd be like, oh, that sounds cool. But I need you to try to sell it to me.
So yeah, like, do they want me to buy a PlayStation 5? Like, from that video, I don't know. I couldn't right. tell.
Hopefully soon they have another presentation where we'll see a lot more. We'll get, you know, maybe some gameplay or whatever it may be. With there being no E3, like, we are in some wild times. I don't think they know exactly how they're going to do this. Although, I mean, Sony has pulled out of E3 before, so they should have a grasp on how to present these types of things. You know,
I'm saying, but can they get me somebody? Get me a Jade Raymond or Reggie or somebody, man. Yeah. I mean.
No, I feel you. We need somebody with some energy. We need an event that is going to get people to want to purchase it. I mean, I know people want to buy this already, but they need to set up an event where people can see what this thing can do. We want to see what the PS5 looks like. We want to see a lot of stuff. So
they could at least show that controller, because I mean, you were telling me about some of the rumors and things. I'm just like, man, I am looking forward to seeing this controller, though. I can tell you that much.
Right. So can we see some of this? So, I mean, hopefully soon. I mean, what is it? It's March right now. It's almost April. We're getting into that time where it's like things should be rolling out. We know exactly what the Xbox Series X looks like. We know pretty much exactly what this thing is going to be able to do. They keep on giving us more and more. I mean, they've shown us alleged gameplay. You know, we need to see something. You know, Sony is keeping this thing a huge secret for some reason. I'm not sure why. Like, I get a feel that they really want this thing to be fine-tuned. Hopefully this doesn't mean like a potential pushback on the release, and that's why they're just taking their time with this. Who knows? Hopefully we still see it holiday. I mean, they're saying holiday season. Hopefully they don't push it back. But I mean, we haven't even seen any leaks generally with hardware. They have not even been making any of the hardware.
So, one other thing to take note of too is, you know, because there is that power advantage, I guess. Mm-hmm. One thing you're probably going to see a lot of too is multi-platform games and where certain games will stand. I mean, some games you'll probably be able to, there'll be no difference at all. Mm-hmm. But maybe there will be some games where you will see a difference. I mean, that's a possibility. And that's just something to think about. But also, I don't think that there'll ever be a game that comes out where it's just like, oh my God, I cannot get that on PS5. I have to get it on the Xbox version. I couldn't see that happening, but I could see, you know, maybe slight differences. So what do you think about that?
I mean, when it comes down to, like I was talking about, the Tempest chip, maybe that will be the thing that sets them apart when it comes to the, like, for the audio files of gaming. that really love their audio to be super crisp, super natural. From what they, how they were explaining it in this, in the keynote as well, it's, he made it seem like, you know, it's the thing that's going to drag, pull you into the matrix where you won't know the difference between the sound in the game and sound in real life. So if something happens in the game, you'll actually feel like it's happening in the real world with that just natural, crisp, realistic audio that they're going to be feeding to you. So, I mean, we'll see when we can actually try it out. But they're, he's making it seem like the Tempest chip is going to be that thing that is going to definitely set it apart, which it could be. And, you know, maybe that's why they're taking their time. That's why they don't want to show anything before it's completely ready, ready to go, because they want people to know that, you know, the work that they're putting in is actually what is going to make the difference. Who knows?
Yeah. And then, like, with that thought pattern too, it's kind of like, so one of the main reasons I bought a Nintendo Switch is because I love indie gaming. And we know that a lot of indie games, they're multi-platform, but maybe they're not quite as powerful on the Switch. But we know that Switch has that portability. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have that feature going for them that, like, okay, maybe it's not as powerful of their version of the game, but you know that you can take it with you. And it sounds like with Sony, like, maybe there'll be a multi-platform game. It's just slightly not as powerful, but the audio maybe will just, like, blow it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right, where it'll make you want to get it on the PS5 opposed to the Xbox.
Right. Because that sound is important to a lot of people, and I understand that.
Right, especially when it comes to, like, competitive gaming. They were explaining as well, like, if you feel like someone's shooting next to you, you'll be able to actually feel where they're actually shooting with the sound, right? So then you'll know exactly where they are, opposed to how it kind of is now, where, yeah, it kind of sounds like they're to the right of you, but you don't know exactly where to the right of you they are, you know? So, I mean, that's just getting you closer and closer to that immersion, to that matrix, like they kept on bringing up in the keynote, that matrix reality where you're playing this game and you feel like you're actually in the game. You know, team that up with VR, and I could see it going, being something incredible. But, you know, until we actually can get our hands on this, until we can actually see, at least get some feedback from someone that's actually tried it, at least, you know, even if we're not able to completely just try it out for ourselves, at least I want to hear from somebody. I want to see a live demo with, like, a content creator or something giving us feedback, like, oh yeah, it sounds like they're exactly right next to me, or whatever it may be, you know. So we'll see. I'm still looking forward to it. Like I said, I mean, I'm kind of partial to the PlayStation over the Xbox, but I mean, who knows? If it doesn't matter and the Xbox is cheaper or whatever it may be, I might grab an Xbox. But, you know,
Sony, you said, does have them exclusive.
Sony does have those exclusives, though. So,
I mean, and that was the excuse too, because, like, I remember the Xbox One X was coming out, and you're like, you know what? It's doing a whole lot, and they got some good games. But Sony has the exclusives. And I'm like, well, all right, man, well.
That just happens to always be the thing. It's like, I mean, maybe Microsoft will get some exclusives. I mean, and, you know, just to touch on this briefly, like, even, like, Nintendo is getting at least, like, some timed indie exclusives. It seems like they're going out of their way to try to get something going to get you to be on the Nintendo, especially at least for a certain period of time. So, I mean, can we get some timed exclusives or something like that? But with these major studios, I see it being hard for Microsoft. I mean, unless Microsoft is willing to chop that dough to have, like, a 6-month time exclusive for who knows, whatever title it may be, something major. I mean, I don't see that happening, though, because, I mean, Sony has so many players. So, who knows? It's one of those things where they need to get devs, and maybe that's why they're throwing the specs the way they are. They're just like, here's 12 teraflops. Make something great for us, please. And everybody's just like, well, that Tempest engine, though, on the PlayStation, you know, I really, really would like to work with that as well. But who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, they got Battletoads.
Hey, yeah. I mean, I love me a side-scrolling beat 'em up. So, I mean.
Me too. But that game, that art style looks like somebody threw up. Like, I'm not happy with that new Battletoads. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they went real like Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with that style. And keep it classic. Keep it classic, you know?
I'll play it and then I'll eat my words if it's good.
I mean,
if
you're going to go nostalgia, keep it nostalgia, you know? Don't switch it up. Keep it how we know and love it. But, you know, who knows? Sometimes they make things look better, like we've talked about Streets of Rage 4. They've updated it. It looks a little different, but it looks good, and it's still in the vein of the original. So
I can't wait for that, man.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. So PS5, Xbox Series X, Google Stadia, which one do you think you're rocking with the most?
Oh, I'm going to be rocking that Stadia.
I mean, you're looking at, for the Stadia Premier Edition, $130. $130 with a strong internet connection. You could play that Attack on Titan 2 Final Battle.
Right. Yeah. So those are two things I don't have right now. A strong connection or Attack on Titan.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about the Stadia. I think people were trolling in the PS5 comments saying Stadia is killing it with the specs, because literally they're running this, at least the Premiere Edition, they're running it off of a Chromecast. So, I mean, that's like saying the Apple TV 4K is going to kill the PS5. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can game on it. They got some pretty cool games if you like strategy games or whatever, but I don't know if it's going to kill these. All streaming, 5G is not even that prevalent right now. Plus, people are scared of the 5G because of the Modelo conspiracies. People are just freaked out at home, just reading a bunch of nonsense. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about Stadia. It's cheap. It's one of those things where it's like, maybe I'll buy it just to, but then again, it's like, I don't really need it, you know? I don't really need it, so I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, so Stadia, spec-wise, I don't see what people were talking about, but hey, it is what it is. Troll's gonna troll, you know, especially when you have a super boring keynote where you're just talking about technical jargon and modules and entering the matrix and stuff like that. So overall, I mean, I'm still excited for the PS5. I'm glad we got some information. I'm glad to hear about the Tempest chip. Like I said, that's probably my biggest takeaway from the whole thing. But until we can kind of see it in action, I mean, I can't really say much. I'm intrigued, but I need to see more. So that pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I had to say about, you know, the Series X. I mean, they showed us a little bit more, but they really didn't show us nothing. I mean, it was the same thing. It was just both sides just kind of talking good stuff, but at the same time, neither has really shown us anything. You know, for the average consumer to say, hey, this is why y'all need to buy this.
Right. Like if you walked into a retail store and they had an Xbox Series X and they had a PS5 and they explained the specs to you, you'd be like, all right, well, all that's cool, but who got the games? So.
Yeah. Where's that God of War, though? That's what I'm thinking about.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I look forward to see the titles that are going to come out. I got Rickrolled today by a Grand Theft Auto 6 alleged release date 2021 type thing. That,
oh, you should have known better than that. You know Rockstar ain't handing out nothing.
I got straight Rick Rolled. I was like, oh, Someone made a nice high resolution thumbnail and all that stuff. I was like, oh man, this looks real. Made a nice little fake Rockstar Games YouTube channel. Got me.
Oh, man.
Rick rolled the crap out of me, bro.
Okay, so what's the first game, big franchise you'd like to see make an appearance on a new system?
That's a good question. I mean, these consoles are supposed to be super powerful. So I want to see something. I'd like to see something big. I'd have to say the new Elder Scrolls 6, or Grand Theft Auto 6. That's lit. I mean, I can't think of that's, I mean, just because of all the power that they're putting into this game, I mean, unless they came out, I mean, they're not going to, there's no more Uncharted, so we're not going to get like a good game like that that's going to have a bunch of different weather changes, you know? With a game like that, with like an old Elder Scrolls 6 or a Grand Theft Auto 6, there's so much they can put into the game to actually fully utilize the console. I want to see one of those titles. That's what's really going to draw me in, just because, I mean, you have the weather changes, you have the day and the night, you have all of the vehicles or all of the different armor or whatever it may be in Elder Scrolls, all of the different spells, summons, and all that stuff. There's just so much, and then so many NPCs that are in those environments. I mean, that those are going to be the titles that are going to show you, like, the future, you know? So those are what I'm really waiting for, because those are the titles that are going to actually be able to show you what these consoles are going to be able to do in the near future and in the future coming. So,
yeah, I mean, I'd honestly like, I'd probably, Grand Theft Auto is my favorite video game franchise, or at least in the top three. So, I've liked them even since like the bird's eye view and everything. Like, I've played them since the beginning, and I like them all. I don't know if the older ones hold up anymore, but I did like them the best.
Mm.
But so Grand Theft Auto 6, but then also if not Grand Theft Auto 6, basically Rockstar's first appearance on the new system, because whatever you're getting from Rockstar, you know that it's going to be a quality experience, and you know that they're going to take full advantage of the systems that they're on. Like, I still like San Andreas. If you think about GTA San Andreas, just so much that they were able to fit on a PlayStation 2 disc. I mean, like, that map was huge for the time. That's still right. A big map. And the fact that they were able to get all that in there, I mean, it was a dual-layer disc. They made it happen, man. And that's right. The thing. Like, Rockstar has such a great track record of just getting the most out of systems. And so I look forward to seeing whatever they have planned. Like, yes, I would absolutely love GTA 6 to be next on their list, but if not, like, whatever they have, I'm looking forward to it.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like you said, they fully utilize the capabilities of the console. Even taking it back to San Andreas, there was so much that they had in that game. I mean, you could just eat a bunch and get fat in the game, like little subtle things like that, you know. they pay attention to all those little details. There's so much that they do. They fully capitalize on everything these consoles can do, and I feel like that's going to be the first time that it's going to be highlighted with this new generation of gaming, because they're going to do everything they can to make the game utilize as much as its capacity as it can, whether it be, you know, even more appearance changes. Like in GTA 5, they kind of took away the getting buff or the getting fat or getting real skinny. I'd like to see that make a return, but I'd also like to see the NPCs in the game be more intelligent, which I imagine they'll be able to do, more interactive. There's just so much they can do with the game. I feel it's going to be, that's going to be when we're like, okay, this is what's up. This is what this gen's all about. Because, I mean, it was like that with the PS4 as well, you know. They released GTA 5 on the PS3, but then they re-released it on the PS4 not soon after. And it was, they waited and then they released GTA Online, and that's still going. It's still thriving right now. It's still getting updates. They're still doing so much with it. So they can make, I mean, they can make a giant map, a giant world. Who knows, you know, what they'll be able to pull off with this gen. So I'm excited to see what'll happen with that.
I just think that there's not a series that's there's been several GTA clones, you know, like the Saints Row and all that. But man, my goodness, man, none of those clones to me have even come close to the level of GTA. Like, just they put so much quality and time into like every aspect of that, like the voice acting, the soundtracks, the vehicles, the weapons, the buildings, the way that they look, the way the pedestrians look, the dialogue between pedestrians. Like, these are just so many things that, to me, like, they haven't been even close to been touched yet.
Yeah, I could do nothing but agree with you. I can't think of anything that's remotely even close to that, other than, what, I mean, Red Dead, but that's Rockstar.
Right, that don't count. That's there.
I mean, it's just, you know, and then, you know, Bethesda, I'd say they're a close second. But even then, the quality sometimes, like the quality of Fallout 4, for instance, is not saying it's not a good quality game. There's just so much more in GTA 5 compared to what's in Fallout. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. And then, I mean, Skyrim is a classic, and we all know Skyrim is pretty huge itself with a lot of NPCs. But, I mean, that itself can be glitchy at times. I mean, it's a meme online how glitchy it can be. So Rockstar, they're in the lead, and I can't wait to see what they do. But also, I know Bethesda will utilize, you know, its capabilities as well, and they'll definitely come up. They'll come out with a good game as well. That Elder Scrolls 6, I imagine, is going to be super dope. So, and I can't wait to see these things online too. That's going to be another huge one. Not just Fortnite, because Fortnite's already pretty big with the amount of players, but I imagine how many players we'll be able to have on like COD or whatever the next, you know, Battle Royale type game will be, or whatever it'll be. So the online is going to be another one. I mean, the capabilities of its online is supposed to be very good as well, but you're going to have that connection to be able to run it. So we'll see how it goes. What is it looking at? What? 10,000 to 16,000 GPU gigaflops. So, I mean, you're looking at running super high quality online with tons of players online with, yeah, tons of support. So as long as the servers aren't trash, which hopefully they won't be, online will be pretty fun as well. So I can't wait. I'm super excited. I wish it was December so we could get hands on with this, at least like go to a Walmart or something like that and play a demo or something, at least, you know. Price point wise, I mean, they still haven't said how much this is going to be. There's rumors saying it's going to launch at the same price point that the PS4 did at $400, but I kind of doubt that, but we'll see.
I'm going to guess $600 for both of them.
That's not bad. I mean, that's not a bad guess. That's not a bad guess, I mean.
I mean, we like it to be. I feel you want it to be cheaper, but you know.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
The game's gonna cost the same too.
Yeah, the 60 bones.
Yeah, are they gonna stick to that, or are they gonna be like, oh well, let's do $64.95 now, or let's do
$64.95, $70. They better not.
I can see them slipping that in.
I mean, fam, I just bought My Hero Academia. Heroes Justice 2, and it's a good game, but I spent $60 on it, and I was like, dang, I mean, there is a quite a bit of content, but I think I'm at like 44% completion right now, and I've had the game since last Friday when it launched.
I watched the trailer, and what I saw, it looked like a $40 value game to me. Am I wrong, or?
I mean, if it was $40, I would have spent an extra $20 on the season pass. So they would have gotten me to buy the season pass. Now it's kind of like, maybe if I, 100% it, then maybe I'll get the season pass just for some more content, but it's not even out yet. The characters that are coming out in the season pass have been leaked, and I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, Gentle Criminal, okay, sure. Gentle Criminal was pretty cool in this last couple episodes that I've seen. But I don't know if it's worth buying the season pass. What I will say, just as a quick review, I like the game. I didn't play or buy the first one. I thought about it because it was like $15 a couple times during some deal weeks. But I never did it. Like I rebought GTA 5 because I loaned it to my brother and I didn't have it. So I was like, forget it. I'll just buy this for $15. But I like the game. Like as a fighter, it's fun. I haven't played online yet, so I'll have to do that to see how it goes. I've been running through like the story mode, which I've almost completed fully. Which there's two modes. There's the hero side, and then you have to do the villain story, which is pretty cool because it's kind of how it is in the manga, where they spend time on the villains as well. Like they had a whole arc for the villains, so it was kind of cool to see both perspectives. Playing it that way throughout basically season 4 of the anime right now. And then there's this mission mode that I've been playing a lot where you can level up your characters, which is actually pretty tough. And the gameplay is fun. It's different than other fighting games. So, I mean, it's unique in its own right. It's not like a clone of like Dragon Ball Xenoverse or anything like that. It's not like a Ninja Storm clone or anything like that.
That's what it looked like to me from the gameplay. So that's cool to hear that it's not.
Yeah, so I like it. The gameplay is nice because it's different. I enjoy it. And then just kind of like the power scaling that they have with the characters as well. So if you pick a character, it's like their power is going to be based on the character's actual strengths, how they are in the anime or in the manga. And then also if they're just like a provisional hero, like the teens from UA, or if they're like pro heroes or like a big villain, or if they're like a lower class villain, it's all kind of power scale to that. So if you go in and you're fighting against All Might and you're like, say you're Mineta, the little purple dude with the balls on his head, then you can definitely get work. You can win, but you're not just gonna whoop All Might. So I like how they did that as well. It's actually scaled correctly for how it should be. Good. So yeah, so I mean I feel like it's a really good game. I'll end up doing, once I get through like all of more some more of the missions and all of the story, I definitely will get a review done, because I think it's a good game. It kind of makes me want to go back and play the first one. So if that goes on sale and isn't $60 like it is on right now on the PS Store, I'll pick that up and run through that as well. But I definitely like it. I enjoy it. If you catch it for a deal, I'd say pick it up. Is it worth the 60 bones? I mean, I've been playing a lot. Maybe. In theory, you can say it is. If I was expecting more content than what's just coming with the season pass that they have out now, I would say I'd be more leaning towards the $60 title. But as of right now, I'd say even if they dropped to like $50, I feel like it would be an easier pickup, but it's probably more of like a $40 title. But it is a good game and they put a lot of work into it. But you know how like these Bandai games go too. So, they're all kind of, you know how they go. So, yeah, I like it. I enjoy it. But I'll have a review for that sometime soon. We'll get one done. It's a good game.
Yeah, we could do it on here at some point. I'd also, when the DLC comes out for Ultimate Alliance 3, the Fantastic Four portion, I'd like to review that on here too. So those are things that we can have our folks looking forward to.
Nice. Yeah, I still haven't played Heroes Alliance. How is that?
Man, I really do enjoy it, man. It's I think it could stand to be a bit more difficult. So I'm thinking maybe there'll be, I'm hoping that they maybe include a harder mode down the line, but it really is fun to play with four people, and the characters, the abilities that you can unlock for the characters, and then everybody using their powers together. It's just, I think it's a fun game. I do like it a lot.
Nice. Well, if I ever find my freaking Switch, I will definitely pick it up. But I don't even want to think about that right now, because every time I think about it, I get kind of frustrated. But hey, I think this was a good talk. PS5, I can't wait to see something. Nice specs, but I want to see something. You have me intrigued by the Tempest chip, but we got to see some more. We know you're going to have them exclusive, so I'm more than likely going to pick it up, but I need to see something more. So before we head out, you got anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here, KJ?
Well, at some point, I think we need to like really talk about Stadia, but I don't feel like it right now. So I'm all set.
For sure. Yeah, we'll get to the Stadia. That'll be for another time. We do need to get in depth. We got to give them some shine too. It is a gaming console. We got to give them, you know, a little bit of we got to give them a little bit of shine. So we'll do that. Expect that on a later podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up in the comments. Let us know, what are you more excited for? Are you excited for the Xbox Series X? Are you excited for the PS5? Are you rocking with the Stadia? Are you just going to stick with your Switch? Let us know. Let us know what you guys think. We definitely want to hear from you guys. Make sure you stop by playlegit.net, because that's the hub. That's where you're going to find the podcast. You can also find us on YouTube. Find us on Twitter at playlegit as well. YouTube, playlegit network. And until next time, I have been your good friend, Corey Elijah, here with my co-host, KJ. And we will catch you on the next one.
You know, they could get Aisha Tyler, bro, to do the press conference the next time.
Hey, I'm with that. I'm definitely with that. She's energized. She's a fan. So,
did that make it in?